Last night it was obvious that UP was without power dahil andilim at nabalitaan ko ay some source of power was damaged and because of that ay nagsuffer ang buong UP. Well, that is existence as far as everything in this world is concerned. We depend on something to exist. Tayo ay nakadepende sa isang bagay, sa isang source para tayo makapagpatuloy ng ating pananatili. And we are going to look at one attribute of God today that is amazing and one that makes Him really great is because He does not depend on anything for continuance of existence. At ito ang self-existence. Tinitingnan natin ang mga katangian ng Diyos sa dalawang hanay, itong tinatawag natin mga attributes of greatness, and then we will consider later attributes of goodness. Ang dalawang hanay na ito ay upang iangkop sa dalawang tugon na inaasahan sa atin kapag inisip natin ng Diyos. Kapag tayo ay lumapit sa Diyos, we are expected to praise Him in terms of His greatness and we are expected to thank Him in terms of His goodness. Kaya yung paghahanay natin na yan sa mga katangian ng Diyos ay para ihamunin tayo sa angkop na tugon sa kanyang mga katangian. Well, last week, we considered the spirituality of God. Sa spirituality ng Panginoon, a spirit, God is spirit, and that means He is not material or physical, pero hindi lang sa hindi siya material or physical, because He is infinite spirit, He is not limited by anything material or anything physical. Tayo man, meron tayong spirit, pero we are limited spirits. In the case of God, He is infinite spirit, and His spirituality means He is not limited by anything material or physical. Huwag tayo mag-isip sa Diyos ng material o ng anumang may kinalaman sa katawan. So, yan yung unang great attribute na pinag-aralan natin, the spirituality of God. Ang titingnan natin ngayong umaga ay ang ikalawa sa kanyang great attributes, itong tinatawag nating self-existence. Nabubuhay siya sa kanyang sarili. Life and existence are grounded in Himself. Yan ang ibig sabihin ng self-existence. At sa salita ng Diyos, malimit natin ma-encounter ito sa katotohanan ng kanyang pagiging buhay na Diyos. 30 times in the whole of the scriptures, God is denominated as the living God. Siya ang buhay na Diyos. At isinasalungat ito sa ibang mga itinuturing na Diyos, pero hindi naman buhay. Sa mga tuwid, wala naman talagang totoong Diyos, pero para lang isalungat siya sa mga dinidiyos ng mga pagano, siya ang tinatawag na buhay na Diyos, samantalang ang ibang mga Diyos ay walang totoong buhay. Sa Jeremias, Kabanatang 10, ang mga ito'y gawa ng manlililok, tinutukoy yung mga Diyos-Diyosan, at ng mga kamay ng platero, ang kanilang damit ay bughaw at kulay ube, ang mga ito'y gawang lahat ng mga bihasang manggagawa. Ngunit ang Panginoon, ang tunay na Diyos, siya ang buhay na Diyos at walang hanggang hari. Now, it might interest you to know that Jeremiah 10 verse 10 is the only verse in the whole of Jeremiah that is in Aramaic. Aramaic, ang ancient term ng Syria ay Aram. Kaya Aramaic is the language of Syria, which was the international language of that time. At kataka-taka, pero kung isipin natin, very interesting na nang isulat ito ni Jeremiah, ginamit niya bigla ang Aramaic in the midst of Hebrew language, bigla siya nag-international language. Parang gusto niyang sabihin, dapat itong malaman ng lahat. Dapat malaman ng lahat na si Yahweh, ang tunay na Diyos, siya ang buhay na Diyos at walang hanggang hari. Ang tinutukoy niya rin ay yung ibang mga Diyos walang buhay. Hindi sila mga totoong Diyos, samantalang si Yahweh, ang tunay na Diyos at ang katunayan niyan, siya ay buhay na Diyos. And then you see this also in sa gawa ng kinakausap ni Pablo, ang mga taga-Listra, mga magsasaka ng Listra na gusto silang sambahin. At ang sabi niya, mga Ginoo, bakit ninyo ginagawa ang mga bagay na ito? Kami mga tao rin na gaya ninyo, nagdadala kami ng magandang balita sa inyo upang mula sa walang kabuluhang mga bagay na ito, yung pagsamba nila ng mga Diyos-Diyosan, mga walang kabuluhan, ay bumaling kayo sa Diyos na buhay na siyang gumawa ng langit, ng lupa, ng dagat, at ng lahat ng nasa mga iyon. Kaya pinagsama natin agad itong dalawang karakter na ito. Kapag lumapit tayo sa Diyos, ito agad ang dalawang isipin natin. Hindi siya material, hindi siya physical, siya espiritu, at siya ay buhay. Hindi tayo lumalapit sa isang idolo o imahin. Siya ay, ang nilalapitan natin ay ang buhay na Diyos. At ang tunay na pagsisisi, kapag nagkaroon ng tunay na conversion, ito ang nangyayari sa 1 Thessalonians 1:9. They themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So conversion at its most basic essence ay kilalanin ng tunay na Diyos. At kapag kinilala ang tunay na Diyos, ang isang kinikilala sa Kanya ay totoo siya. Buhay siya. The true. We serve the living and true God, which means tinatalikuran na natin ang ibang mga Diyos. Hindi pwedeng siya kasama ng iba pa. You turn away from others in order to have an exclusive devotion to this God. Hindi pwedeng yung tinatawag na syncretism, pagsamasamahin, sasabihin nila mabuti naman, may mabuti naman sa ibang reliyon, kunin natin yon. Tapos yung mabuti sa pananampalatayang Kristiyano, kunin din natin, pagsamasamahin natin, hindi po pwede yun. Ang tunay na conversion, turning away and then turning to the living and true God. At ang isang bagay na ipinapakita po niyan ay ang pagkilala natin sa Diyos is a matter of giving to Him our life because He is the living God. Ngayon, tingnan natin, sinabi natin, whenever we study any attributes, titingnan natin sa tatlong control, biblical, practical, and Christological. So, tingnan natin uli sa tatlong bagay na yan. Una, biblical presentation. Una, sa Biblia, itinuturo na the ground of God's own existence is Himself. Ang batayan ng pananatili ng Diyos ay ang sarili niya. Walang ibang ganun. Tayo, hindi grounded in ourselves. Kinakailangan meron tayong nasa labas natin para tayo mabuhay. Kagaya ng sa UP, para yung power niya ay magpatuloy, kinakailangan buhay yung mga generating sources ng power. Eh kapag na-damage yun, damage yung pananatili ng power. Pero sa case ng Panginoon, itong si Moses doon sa burning bush encounter, nung siya'y kausapin ng Diyos at nagtanong si Moses, if the Israelites asked me, what God sent you? What name shall I give to them? Itong sagot ng Panginoon. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is His name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Ipapaliwanag ko lang very briefly anong sense niyan. Nagtatanong si Moses, who, what name, parang ang tanong, ang kahulugan niyan ay, among the gods they know, who among them will I tell them sent me? And God told him na I am that I am. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, it's only me. You cannot say who among them. It's only I am. It's only me. There is no other God. Kaya yung sinasabi niyang I am who I am is telling Moses, it's just me. There is no one else. Kaya yung nagtatanong siya, who? Ang tanong na yun ay, who among? And God is telling him, it's only me. Ako lang, walang iba. So in other words, it's only God who has the ground of existence in Himself. There is no one else like Him. Tayo, everything else, there is an outside cause. We need to breathe from outside. We need to eat from outside sources. We need to be sustained by things from outside of us. Kaya hindi natin masasabi na yung existence natin ay self-existence. We are not self-existing. We are existing by things outside ourselves. So that's everything else. There is an outside cause. Kapag ma-damage yung outside cause, hindi tayo makapananatili. So that's derivative experience. But that is not true of God. So the first biblical presentation is that the ground of God's own existence is himself. There's no one else na katulad niya. Ikalawa, God is the origin and cause of all life. Lahat ng uri ng buhay ay nanggaling sa Diyos. Sa Job 12:10, nasa kamay niya ang buhay ng bawat bagay na may buhay at ang hininga ng lahat ng mga tao. Isipin niyo yun, nasa kamay niya lahat ng buhay, whether we talk of any kind of life, nasa kamay niya. Sabi rin sa Psalm 36:9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." And then, there is an Old Testament incident sa case ni Belshazzar. He's a Babylonian king. At alam natin kung paanong sa isang piging ay ginamit niya yung articles ng temple. Kumbaga yung nilapastangan niya. At ang nangyari doon ay, this is the famous painting of Rembrandt. At andyan yung writing on the wall. At doon sa writing on the wall, pinatawag si Daniel para i-interpret. At dito makikita natin, this is the most powerful man on earth during that time. Babylonian king, Belshazzar. And yet, dito, sa kanyang takot, kinailangang ipaunawa ni Daniel sa kanya, and listen to Daniel's rebuke kay Belshazzar. Pinuri mo ang mga Diyos na pilak, ginto, tanso, bakal, kahoy at bato na hindi nakakakita, nakakarinig o nakakaalam man. Ngunit ang Diyos na may hawak sa iyong paghinga at sa kanya ang lahat mong lakad na hindi mo niluwalhati. This is the most powerful man on earth. And Daniel was telling him, nasa kamay ng Diyos ang bawat mong paghinga. Parang kung alam natin ang sitwasyon sa ICU, ang isang pasyente na nasa ICU ay pinapahinga lang ng kanyang respirator, humihinga lang siya because of a device that makes him breathe. And that is the picture, ganyan ang larawan ni Daniel sa buhay ng tao. Kaya ka lang nagpapatuloy humihinga ay dahil sa kamay ng Diyos. Kailanman hugutin ng Diyos ang kanyang pagtutustos sa ating paghinga, ikaw ay mawawala ng hininga, ikaw ay mamamatay. Ganyan tayo kadepende sa ating buhay. So all of life is sustained merely by the sustenance of God. Kaya yan ang isang bagay na huwag nating kalimutan or consider. Paul in the Areopagus. Ito ay sa Athens. Doon daw sa Athens, may isang contemporary na nagsabi, "In Athens, there are more gods than people." Mas maraming Diyos kaysa mga tao kasi punong-puno yan ng mga imahin ng iba't ibang mga Diyos. At kung maalala ninyo, dyan nakita ni Paul ang isa pang altar to the unknown God kasi sa takot nilang baka may malampasan silang Diyos, magtampo, baka padalan sila ng kalamidad. Kaya, kumbaga yung to the unknown God na yon ay the rest of the above na hindi nabanggit. At ginamit ito ni Pablo para sila ay pangaralan, at isang sinabi sa kanila ni Pablo ay, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. In him we live and move and have our being." Again, note how total our dependence is pagdating sa buhay. Ano mang buhay iyan, yan ay nasa kamay ng Diyos, lahat ng uri ng buhay. Whether we talk of vegetation, yung tinatawag na flora, or animal life, fauna, lahat ng buhay ay nakadepende sa tao, especially, and most especially, human life. From the womb to adulthood, nakadepende tayo sa ating buhay, sa ating Diyos. So that is the second biblical presentation. God is the origin and cause of all life. Ikatlo, God is absolutely independent. Ang Diyos ay hindi umaasa sa labas niya. Nakita natin, tayo nakaasa sa labas natin. Kung wala yung mga inaasahan natin sa labas, hindi tayo makapagpapatuloy. Ang Diyos, wala siyang inaasahan sa labas niya. Yan ang sinabi ng Daniel 4:35. Ito ang natutunan ni Nebuchadnezzar. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And He does according to His will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, what have you done? Ibig sabihin, hindi namamaalam ang Diyos kung may gagawin siya. Hindi niya kailangan ng material. Hindi siya mangangailangan ng mga kagamitan kung kinakailangan siyang may gawin. That's independence. And one of our favorite verses, Romans 11. Doon na lang sa last verse ng verse 36. For from Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So, ganyan tayo naniniwala na ang Diyos ay hindi nakadepende kanino man, which means, among other things, let us reject the myth, itong alamat ng lonely God. Ang Diyos raw ay nalungkot, kaya siya napilitang gumawa ng tao para magkaroon siya ng kasama. May iba-ibang version pa yan. Meron pang nationalistic version yan, di ba? Nagluto siya ng tao sa pagmamadali niya, hilaw. Kaya yan yung mga puti. Galawang niluto raw niya, nagtagal talaga, ayan daw yung mga nasunog, itim. Pero yung ikatlo, yan yung tamang-tama, yan ang mga kayumanggi. Nakakatawa yan, pero yan ay mali. Ano mang idea na somewhere in eternity, God felt lonely and so He needed to create a company in human beings, that is wrong. We must never think of God as needing us. Yan ang sabi ni Paul sa Areopagus, as though God needed anything. No, He does not. He does not need us or anything outside of Himself. Nakasalalay ito sa ating paniniwala ng Trinitarian being. Hindi magiging lonely ang Diyos sapagkat He is existing in a three-person existence. Therefore, there is love within the triune God. There is sufficiency in the company of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Eh, hindi siya malulungkot. Kaya huwag natin isipin ang pagkalalang sa tao ay something of a necessity on the part of God. The ultimate purpose of God is Himself. So, yan yung fourth presentation. That's Romans 11:33. So, any self-centeredness on the part of man is wrong because he is derivative existence. But on the part of God, God centered on Himself is the only deduction from being the supreme God. O yung sinasabi sa ethics na the summum bonum, the supreme good. Malaking discussion yan sa ethics dahil lahat ng standard of good ay tinitingnan nila what is the supreme good. At yung iba, sinasabi nila justice. Yung iba ay humanitarianism. Christians believe that the summum bonum, the supreme good, is God Himself. And therefore, it is right for God to seek the purpose of everything in Himself. Lower than God, it will be wrong for anything or anyone to seek the purpose in itself or in Himself. Huwag natin hanapin ang layunin ng buhay sa sarili. Pero pagdating sa Diyos, dahil siya ay summum bonum, tama na ang kabuuan ng buhay ay hanapin sa kanyang sarili. So that is the summum bonum. So we reject here any idea of God depending upon us. The practical implication of this is that man is absolutely dependent upon God, but never vice versa. Hindi kailanman ang Diyos ay nakaasa sa atin. So we reject the kind of discourse that is so current today. God needs you. Where did he get that? Saan niya nakuha ang ideya na kailangan tayo ng Diyos? Now, let us make a differentiation between instrumentality and necessity. Kasangkapan tayo ng Diyos, nalugod ang Diyos na tayo ay kasangkapanin. Pero huwag nating gawin yung pagkakasangkapan sa atin ay dahilan na isipin natin na tayo ay napakahalaga. na walang magagawa ang Diyos kung wala tayo. Instrumentality must not be overstated into necessity. Instrumentality, yes. So God is pleased to use man as His instrument. But we must not overstate instrumentality to become necessity. Hindi mawawalan ang Diyos kung wala tayo. Hindi ba ganyan ang nangyari kay Elijah? Nung inalala ito ni Apostol Pablo, do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. Eh kung i-translate natin, o i-paraphrase natin yan, sabi ni Elijah, Lord, ubos na mga propeta mo, ako na lang. Wala kang magagawa kung wala ako. At ang sagot ng Panginoon sa kanya, ano ka, hilo? What is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So in other words, any of these 7,000, they are in line. Nakapila ang mga yan kung gusto, kung sino man sa kanilang gusto kong gamitin. Dapat malugod ka na ikaw ang kinasangkapan ko sa panahong ito. Sa halip na lagot ang simulain mo, Panginoon, kung wala ako, ako na lang. Ay hindi ikaw na lang. Kaya huwag mo rin isipin yun na ikaw na lang. Sa halip, yung tamang saloobin ay yung katulad kay Isaiah. Tapos niya makita ang kadakilaan ng Panginoon sa templo at nang nagtanong na ang Panginoon, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. And as it turned out, he was being sent to a thankless job. So hindi yun magiging fruitful ministry. But then Isaiah was willing to be used by the Lord. In other words, angkinin natin yung pagkakasangkapan sa atin na kaluguran natin, kagalakan. Huwag kayabangan, huwag mauwi sa ako na lang. Sa halip, kapag tayo kinakasangkapan, matuwa tayo na tayo pinili ng Diyos na kanyang kasangkapanin. Huwag nating iuwi sa pagiging mayabang o iniisip natin na indispensable. God's independence is necessary to His sovereignty, both in history and in redemption. In history, for example, sa Isaias, yung layunin niya na ang Juda ay mabihag ng Babylonia, ito'y nasa kanyang pagkasuberano, ako'y Diyos at walang iba, ako'y Diyos. Walang gaya ko na nagpapahayag ng wakas mula sa pasimula at mula ng mga unang panahon ng mga bagay na hindi pa nangyayari na nagsasabi ang layunin ko ay maitatatag at gagawin ko ang lahat ng aking kaluguran. Ang ibig sabihin niyan, ang pagkabihag sa Juda, hindi ito dahil natalo ang Diyos. Hindi ito dahil nasurpresa siya sa lakas ng kalaban. Kundi yung mismong pagkabihag ng Juda, pinanukala na ng Diyos. Kanyang layunin. Mangyayari ito ng ayon sa kanyang idineklara na. Yan ang kanyang pagkasuberano. At kung anong pagkasuberano niya sa kasaysayan, ganun din sa kaligtasan. Hindi siya Diyos na naghihintay sino kayang maliligtas. Salib siya mismo ang gumawa ng pasya sa kanyang mga ililigtas na maliwanag sa Roma, si Jacob ay aking minahal, ngunit si Esau ay aking kinasuklaman. Eh, kung marinig mo yan, magpapantingan-tenga ng mga tao ngayon. Why would he hate Esau? That's what they could not accept. Actually, to me, I could well understand why God should hate Esau. He's a sinner. Isipin mo isang tao na pinagbili para lang makapagpananghalian ng bulalo, ay pinagbili yung kanyang firstborn right. Alam niyo ba kung gaano kasagrado the right of the firstborn? Pero nung siya'y mangaso at ginutom, eh palibasa yung kapatid niyang nakababatang si Jacob ay isa ring manggagancho, eh yun, nakahanda na. Siguro pinaamoy pa niya talaga yung sarap nung bulalong niluto niya. Kaya sabi niya, ipagbili mo sa akin ang iyong right of the firstborn para ka makakain. At wali walang pinagbili ni Esau. So, God hating Esau? Yes, I can accept that because he's a sinner. The marvel here is why would God love Jacob? He does not deserve it. He's a swindler. He's a cheat. Madayang tao ito. Kung sino-sinong niloko niya, mula kay Esau, kay Isaac, nagpaligsahan pa sila ni Laban. This is the marvel here. God loved Jacob. But that is the marvel for each one of us who knows the grace of God. Why would God love us? But that's the sovereignty of God. Diyan tayo manggilalas na ang katulad natin ay minahal ng Diyos. And in the Old Testament, there is no person more associated with the name of God than the God of Jacob. More than God of Moses, more than God of Abraham, God is God of Jacob. He is pleased to identify himself with a sinner whom he has redeemed by grace. So dyan tayo manggilalas na tayo ay minahal ng Diyos. And then, isang implikasyon nito sa ethics, kung babalikan natin na ang Diyos ang siyang pinanggalingan ng lahat ng buhay at siya ang nagtutustos ng buhay, may kinalaman ito sa ethics, which is that because God owns human life, there must be respect for the sanctity of life. And that includes from the womb to agedness. We believe that that life is originated by God, sustained by God. But at the same time, itong hindi matanggap ng marami, the sanctity of life, respect for the sanctity of life, includes the idea of forfeiture of life by the murderer. Kapag ang isa ay kumitil ng buhay ng walang katuwiran, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Magkasama yung paggalang sa buhay, huwag tayong pumatay mula sa sinapupunan hanggang sa katandaan ng walang kadahilanan. Pero kapag merong pumatay na walang katuwiran, ang katungkulan ng lipunan ay patayin ng maestrado ang may sala. That's part of the sanctity of life which our society today no longer acknowledges. But now let's look at the Christological implication of this. Anong nangyari sa Panginoon nang siya ay magkatawang tao? Mula sa kanyang self-existence, suddenly, Jesus depended. Can you imagine this? What humiliation happened when the Son of God became man? Self-existent, not dependent outside himself, yet when he was born, sa lahat ng bagay, binuhusan ng Diyos ng Espiritu Santo at ang kapangyarihan kung paanong naglibot siya na gumagawa ng mabuti at nagpapagaling ng lahat ng mga pinahirapan ng Diablo sapagkat kasama niya ang Diyos. Ang pinupunto niya lahat ng ginawa niya, hindi niya ginawa sa angking kapangyarihan, kundi umasa siya sa kapangyarihan ibinibigay sa kanya ng Diyos. Kaya nga, we don't use the miracles of Christ as proof of deity. Dahil yun ay ginawa niya sa paraan at kapangyarihan ng Banal na Espiritu. So in his state of humiliation, he was totally dependent. He was totally dependent upon God, and he gave us a real picture. His disciples are given a model of complete dependence upon God. So whether you are in a position that perhaps gives you a lot of abilities or otherwise, this is the implication of this, na ipinakita sa atin ng Panginoon. Siya mismo was in total dependence upon God, so must we learn to be totally dependent upon God. Here is a classic painting of George Washington in Valley Forge, in prayer before a decisive battle, and that decisive battle will turn into a turning point of the war for independence by America, and it will lead to George Washington, the only president ever voted unanimously by the Electoral College. No more will that happen again sa kasaysayan ng America, but because George Washington showed great leadership at a time na his men were reduced to hand-to-mouth existence and sometimes walang mga sandata, kalaban nila ay the greatest army on earth at that time, the British Army. Yet they won the war. And here is a picture of a leader who depended upon God in prayer. So yan ang tularan natin, yung self-existence ng Panginoon, ang practical na dapat na implikasyon sa atin, we are totally dependent upon Him. Any question? Okay, any question or thoughts you like to raise about God's self-existence? Anyone? Mayan.
Para po sa mga bata at sa yung practical na pagpapaliwanag pa, bakit kaya si Lord parang may favorite? Bakit mahal niya si Jacob? Bakit naman hate niya si Esau? And yun nga, dahil tayo bilang mananampalataya, naniniwala tayo na sovereign ng Panginoon, at dahil creation niya tayo, who are we to question His sovereignty? Pero paano pa po natin maipapaliwanag ito ng mas practical at mas simple?
Well, umpisahan natin sa point na both are deserving to be hated, meaning to be objects of God's wrath, as we all are. Yan naman sinabi ng Romans 9:20, from the same lump. Pare-pareho tayong mula sa putik na nililok ng Diyos. So, if God hated both Esau and Jacob, that would just be what justice demanded. Pero out of grace, He determined to make Jacob the object of His saving love. So there was no injustice to Esau, but on the case of Jacob, he became the object of gracious love. Kaya ang ididiin natin dito, they both deserved God's wrath. So para kay Esau, he got what he deserved. But because God decided to make Jacob the object of His gracious love, it should be to Jacob the source of eternal wonder why he should be the object of love. Kaya walang injustice, but in the case of Jacob, there definitely was marvelous grace. Kaya yun ang ididiin natin, the marvel of grace in the case of electing love. Other thoughts? Jean.
Pastor, yung science not as proofs of deity, parang all those years, yun ang idea ko na yung science are proofs that He is God. So, dun sa John 2:11, this is the first of His signs, yung pag-change niya ng water to wine, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested His glory. What does it mean nung manifested His glory? Not His being God?
No, not His being God, but His being Lord and Savior, because that is the message ng signs. Kung ano siya, in terms of yung sinabi ni John 20, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. So in other words, they are revelation of Jesus as Lord and Savior in His saving work. Pero lahat ng ginawa niya, remember, lahat ng ginawa niya in His state of humiliation ay not done by His own power, but sinabi ng Acts 10:38 at ng iba pang mga talata ay done by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. He depended totally during the state of humiliation. Hindi tayo mauubusan ng proofs of the deity of Christ. Andiyan ang mga explicit statements, andiyan yung iba pang mga pruweba na siya ay Diyos. Kaya hindi tayo mauubusan ng pruweba na Diyos si Jesucristo. Kaya hindi natin kailangan na gamiting pruweba na Diyos siya dahil sa kanyang mga himala. Dahil ang kanyang mga himala, ginawa niya independence upon the Spirit. Ian.
Pastor, can you explain a little further yung verse at the top in John 5:26? In what way did God the Father grant the Son to have life in Himself?
Well, ito yung tinatawag na doktrina ng eternal generation. The relationship of the Father and the Son is such that there is that eternal, because walang beginning. It's not that somewhere at some point in eternity, God, the Son, has no life in Himself, and then the Father decided to give Him life in Himself. Rather, it is always a correspondence eternally. From eternity to eternity, the Father has life in Himself and is always granting life, the Son, life in Himself. They are both self-existence because both have life in themselves. But the relationship is not one where it is from the Son to the Father. The relationship always is from the Father to the Son. Other questions? Rex.
Pastor, paano natin itatama yung maling kaisipan na Diyos na ang bahala kasi sabi total dependence on God. So, wala na akong gawin, maghintay na lang.
Well, that's a good question and very cultural sa mga Pilipino. Kaya tinawag ko inyong pansin dun sa konsepto ng instrumentality. God is pleased to use us as instruments, which means that if God is pleased to use us as instruments, then we better become responsible instruments. At hindi tayo pwedeng magwalang bahala. Ang pag-asa sa Diyos, hindi katumbas ng bibigay na lang sa pagsasabi na lang bahala na. Yung pag-asa sa Diyos ay kasama ang pagtupad ng kanyang mga ibinigay na katungkulan sa atin because God ordinarily blesses the instruments He is pleased to use. At kung hindi tayo willing na maging instrument, huwag tayong umasa na pagpapalae niya ang ayaw magpakasangkapan sa kanya. Kaya maling kultura ng mga Pilipino yung bahala na. Other questions? Other thoughts? Glenn?
Yung kagaya ng tanong ni Double Key Isao tsaka Key Jacob, yung ganun ngang reasoning natin, Pastor, pwede ba natin i-apply yun sa trabaho o sa mga anak na pareho naman kayo makasalanan, isa lang? Pwede ba nang gamitin yun? O ang Panginoon lang pwedeng gumamit ng rasong ganun?
Well, sa case ng trabaho, we apply meritocracy sa trabaho. Of course, they should merit what they should get, what they should earn. Kaya kung mas masipag yung isang trabahador kaysa sa isa, mas pag-uukulan siya ng angkop na compensation at angkop na mga rewards. That's not grace or electing love. It's just merit. Sa case ng mga anak, I don't believe that there should be favoritism at all. But again, among children, there would be those who may prove to be naughty, rebels, and then those who prove to be submissive, etc. And in that sense, there would be effects on relationship. Pero yung on the mere decision ng parent ay may paboran siya, palagay ko yung mali yun. At masasabi ko sa kanyang wala akong paborito sa sa mga anak. Other questions? Sa usapin ng God's independence or our dependence for that matter. Because itong malaking timbang ng ganitong attribute ng Panginoon, His independence should elicit our praise. And for our part, we should live in dependence upon Him. Okay, meron pa? Well, siguro magsuri tayo by way of application of this, where, especially when we apply this to our service to God, where we may become an Elijah, I alone am left. When we begin to nurture a spirit of indispensability. Mag-ingat tayo sa ganun. Salip, let's nurture the Isaiah spirit. Here am I. Send me and be glad that it is you, the Lord, is using for His particular purpose at a particular time. Naalala nyo rin, sana ginamit ko rin dito, when Mordecai was convincing Esther to stand up, be counted on behalf of her people na threaten ni Haman. Eh, anong sabi sa kanya ni Mordecai? If you do not stand up now, the Lord will get from somewhere. Hindi mawawala ang bayan ng Diyos. But who knows that you have come at such a time in the kingdom for such a time as this. So, ibig sabihin, hindi mawawala ng pagkukunan ang Diyos. Pero matuwa ka, magalak ka, kung ikaw ay tinawag niyang kasangkapanin. At sapagkat kung hindi ikaw, hindi mauubusan ang Diyos. Pero kung ikaw ang tinawag, matuwa ka at magalak na ikaw ay tinawag ng Panginoon. So, any last thought? Ian.
Pastor, sa ethics, from the womb to ages, life should not be terminated except on just grounds. Ano yes. po yung mga...
Well, one just ground is yun nga murder. In the case of the murderer, if he is guilty of murder and proven beyond reasonable doubt, it becomes the task of society represented by the state to forfeit the life of such a man. So ako, naniniwala ako sa capital punishment, but I can be lenient when it comes to some heinous crimes, but on murder, yan naman sa maski sa Old Testament, nag-aalaw ng ransom for other capital offenses except murder. On murder, no ransom is allowed. The murderer should be imposed yung capital punishment. Kaya naniniwala ako, isa yun sa just ground. Another is in cases ng dying man and wala nang pag-asa, sinusuporta lang ng devices, pero siya mismo hindi na nabubuhay, pinapahinga na lang ng mga makina, sa aking palagay, it's also a just ground to let go. Kasi dalawang klase yan. Yung talagang sakit lang, pero gagaling pa, let him be cured. Pero the one dying, wala nang magagawa, let him die with dignity. And as much as mali yung abortion because it is preventing the entry of life, mali rin yung puro na lang devices because it is preventing the exit of life. We must be willing to welcome the entry and to bid farewell to the exit of life. So yun ang mga grounds na there can be justice in terminating life. Otherwise, there should be respect for the sanctity of life. Kahit pa deformed, etc. If you know na yung ipapanganak, because you can test it now, ay magkakaroon ng deformities, some people decide to have them aborted. I believe that to be wrong. That is disrespect for life. If that kind of prenatal examination were allowed in the 18th century, they would have aborted Beethoven because he has deformities. And yet he managed to live and contribute to the quality of life despite deformities. Deformity does not justify the taking of life. Okay, meron pa? Tina.
Yung po, una po ay talaga pong pag pinag-aaralan po natin ang attributes po ng Panginoon, hindi po talaga mawawala na mag-elicit ito sa atin ng pasasalamat. Yan nga po, na tayo kinahabagan niya bilang mga makasalanan. Yun lang din po dun sa point ng sanctity of life. Nagbalik po kasi uli yun pong pangyayari na ano lang po, bali mas lalo po ako ngayon uling na-remind ng Panginoon na ipagkatiwala ko po sa Kanya, maging dependent po ako sa Kanya because He is our God of justice, na i-require din po niya ang blood ng tao na nag-shed din po ng blood. Yeah, yun po. I believe that kahit po ang justice dito sa lupa ay kung ipagkakaloob po niya o kung hindi man po mangyari, ultimately, ayun po, nagtitiwala po ako na there will be in his time his justice will prevail.
Okay, thank you, Tina, and we understand where you're coming from. Itong nagbibigay sa atin ng katibayan ng hustisya ng Diyos is because there are so many injustices that go unpunished in this world. And without the ultimate justice and the ultimate judgment, paano mo sasagutin yung malaking puwang, the big gap of injustices that have not been requited dito sa kasaysayan, dito sa mundo? Hitler never had to pay for his crimes. Idi Amin of Uganda had a peaceful death in Saudi Arabia. And I can pack on more and more cases of injustice, pero hindi nabayaran. But what gives us peace, why should we not turn into vigilantes, is because we believe that ultimately there will be justice requited of those criminals. So, yan yung paniniwala natin sa ating Diyos. Meron pa? Okay, muli nating iangkop sa atin to bilang umaasa sa ating Diyos at gayon man, may kaluguran kung tayo ay kinakasangkapan ng Diyos. Tayo manalangin. Dakila naming Diyos, lubos ka naming pinupuri sa katangian mo na nabubuhay at nananatili batay lamang sa iyong sarili. Walang sinuman at walang anuman na maitutulad sa iyo. Nabubuhay kami at nananatili lamang na nakaasa sa mga nasa labas sa amin, sa mga nagtutustos sa amin. Ngunit ikaw ay nabubuhay sa iyong sarili. Pinupuri ka namin, dinadakila ka namin, sinasamba ka namin. At nawa ang makita namin dito ay tunay kang buhay na Diyos. At wala nang ibang Diyos na buhay na katulad mo. At sa tuwing nilalapitan ka namin, ito nawa ang siyang sumaisip namin na lumalapit kami hindi sa isang imahin, hindi sa isang katang-isip. Lumalapit kami sa isang buhay na Diyos, at ang buhay na Diyos na ito ay hindi umaasa sa sino mang nasa labas niya. Ang buo mong pananatili ay ayon lamang sa iyong sariling kalikasan. At dahil dito, Panginoon, nawa ang isang isipin namin ay ikaw rin ang pinanggalingan ng lahat ng buhay. Ikaw ang nagtutustos sa buhay. At sa iyo nanggagaling din ang katarungan para sa mga kasalanan laban sa buhay. Pinapanalangin namin na magbunga nawa ito sa amin ng totoong lubos na pag-asa sa iyo. Help us, Lord, to see in the model of the Lord Jesus that complete dependence upon you. And may we learn to live our lives in complete dependence upon you, to be in prayer, to be in pleading for you and with you, so that you may grant the pleading we spread out before you. So be with us and grant that this attribute will truly elicit in us praise and worship to your name. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.